Why did you break off the encounter with my pet python?
I discovered he had a crush on him.
Missed, Mr. Bond.
Did I?
As you said,
shocking. Positively shocking.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of the Academy podcast. My name is Casey Pine, and today's guest is Darshan Paul. Darshan is the general manager for Asia Pacific Security Group, which is a leading provider of risk management, surveillance, and investigative solutions. Darshan has quite a diverse background, which includes the Victorian Police, the world of media and broadcasting, and then on to being a licensed private investigator. We chat about criminal investigation, background checks, liaising with the police, and much more. I hope you enjoy today's episode.
Hi, Darshan. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Casey. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us on the Academy podcast.
My pleasure.
So I met Darshan, just a bit of background, for the first time, not last week, but the week before, was it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, the AISP meeting, which was great. So, Darshan, would you be able to tell us a bit about your background?
Well, I suppose I started, I left college in, I was studying at Swinburne College doing accounting and stumbled into, not through any intention, stumbled into the police academy following a friend that I studied with in 1984. And started a career in policing, which certainly at the time I had no prior knowledge of what was involved. But 84, joined the police force and was operational not long after that, after finishing the academy. And basically a career in the police force for 14 years ended in 1998 as a detective in the organised crime squad.
Oh, wow.
Which... was broken up in certain divisions at the time. The organised crime squad, I think some worked on the bikie gangs at the time and others worked on Chinese organised crime, and I worked on Italian organised crime. At the time, they were the three key categories, I think. Mm. We worked in, there were some other areas, we worked adjacent to other squads, armed robbery squads and other squads, rape squad and things like that at the time, all of which have changed significantly, do the same sort of thing, maybe target different groups more so now than they used to then. But I finished in 1998. Obviously, working in that role, I knew the demands were quite heavy.
Yeah.
I was about to have my first child, or planning to, and I thought I'd had to look outside at what I was doing. And I stumbled into a role in advertising and...
quite different.
Yeah, very different. Funnily enough, I had a number of friends that were in advertising and they used to always talk about what they'd get up to. I was always interested and thought they earned quite good money, they had great lifestyles. So it was of interest to me, but at a distance. But I stumbled into a job in sales at 3AW as a direct sales manager and, as an account manager. And, basically it was a cold call to various clients, trying to get their business, trying to get them to advertise on radio. And, God, it was a culture shock, I've got to say, from ringing somebody up with some authority, I suppose, and being able to get in to see them, to absolutely the opposite.
Yeah.
Was a bit of a culture shock. People not returning your calls, hanging up on you and being rude to, was a massive shock, but I did that for a little while and then went into another role in advertising, looking after advertising agencies. So the difference was direct sales and then into agency sales. And then I started my own business in outdoor media in 2000, which started from a very basic concept with another policeman that I'd met, and then grew to an international business in a way, because we went from Melbourne to Sydney to Auckland into Queensland, and then operated also in Adelaide and Perth, which was basically a mobile media business where we had promotional staff. We had smart cars with trailers with promotional sampling.
Mm-hmm.
We had outdoor billboards. We had all sorts of things we did. So we did that for a number of years. I think I sold that business in New Zealand, then sold the Melbourne business for various reasons, and then got back into advertising again. And eventually became a sales manager at the advertising agency area, still selling radio. Worked for the Fairfax Radio Network for a number of years, and then the Southern Cross Broadcasting and Southern Cross Stereo, and then eventually out of that and into a couple of other smaller gigs, and then stumbled into private investigations, running into an old colleague of mine. So I started here as the general manager for Asia Pacific Security Group about just over 2 years ago now. And I've been in that role, since then, full-time gig, and the business is going really well and has grown.
That's fantastic. So can you tell us a bit more about the company that you work for?
Yeah. So Asia Pacific Security Group, I suppose when you hear security, you think we're a security business that we do guards and all the rest of it, but I suppose we come under the security industry banner. But we're actually a private investigations company with some little pieces of security guarding or whatever else we do, but very, very minimal. We do corporate investigations, insurance work, we do surveillance, we do background investigations, criminal investigations are probably a key part of the business in that we investigate offences that have been committed usually on corporate clients or suspected of being committed. We investigate them, and if they come to a head, they're usually at some stage during the investigation reported to the police. And we usually then work in conjunction with the police in terms of handing over the evidence and the police undertaking either further investigation or taking out warrants and making arrests. So that's a big part of our business as well. And I suppose one of the questions you're probably going to ask is how does that come about? How do we develop that area of our business? I think it's become purely because of the demand on the police resources and the need for clients to have somebody who can work in the background to get an understanding of what's happening inside their business prior to these matters sometimes being reported to police. Depending on the size of these offences, there is not always an ease for our clients to go to the police and have these matters reported and an investigation commence. There's often a big gap in between what a client will want and what the police are able to do with the resources. So that there lies an opportunity for us and one that we're playing in at the moment, I suppose, quite heavily.
Okay. And so is it quite easy to liaise with the police? Are they receptive to private investigators helping out?
Look, I've found it has been quite easy for us. We've being ex-detectives myself and... two other directors here and a number of our key investigators are all ex-detectives. I think that having worked in that environment, there still exists a, not a brotherhood, I wouldn't say is the word, but a mutual understanding and respect, having understood it, gives us at least a an opportunity to walk in the door and have a discussion with the relevant person, even interstate. You know, having worked as a detective, if you speak to another detective in another state, they're usually willing to listen and consider your situation. So there is a willingness, and they are very, very helpful in either providing us with some sort of direction or guidance, or a willingness to assist when the time is right. We've never come up against any barriers in that situation.
Okay, that's great. Can you describe a typical day in your role?
A typical day. Well, my role is sort of quite diverse. As the general manager, I suppose oversee jobs that are coming in and jobs that are going out. Some of which I'll be more involved in than others. Some I'll just be, listening to the goings on. So a normal day is usually following up on the current status of existing investigations and reviewing new ones, as well as developing the business and meeting clients, new clients, existing clients, and also reviewing the job flow in terms of where we are year on year, in terms of how many jobs we've had, the profitability in those jobs, the rates we're charging, how we're operating, the processes, and then from time to time, I suppose getting out the tools and working on a job, an investigation. On occasions, I will be out in the field with an investigator or a surveillance agent.
Okay.
I may be on the tools in terms of assisting with the background investigation. That is probably about 10% of my job, but the rest of it is nearly overseeing everything.
Yeah.
So every day is different, every investigation is different, and client needs are all different.
Yeah.
You know, we've got two other directors in this business that started the business in 2009, and they've developed it to, you know, a substantial business, and they also play a very key role in how the business is run and decisions that are made.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Industrial disputes is also a key part of what we do, and you know, we've been tied up in a major industrial dispute for a few years now, and it's tied up a lot of resources for us, but it's also been a great opportunity. But yeah, so virtually every day here is a different day and quite demanding.
Yeah, I can imagine. What are your favourite projects to work on?
I think a criminal investigation is always something that I get excited by. I suppose I was saying to somebody yesterday in a meeting that I think it's in every policeman or investigator's DNA is that they love the thrill of the chase. It's like, you know, letting a greyhound loose at a track and chasing the lure. Is that chase is exciting, and following leads and opportunities and seeing them come to fruition is probably what I enjoy the most about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, criminal investigations where you believe there's an offence committed, you establish there's been an offence committed, and then identify offenders and associates, and then you know, work your way through that. I enjoy that, and gathering the evidence and making a case from it.
Yeah.
I enjoy working with clients in those situations, because it seems that there is a start and there is an end to it. It's not just one of those things that you do and you never hear the end of it.
So yeah.
That's sort of probably a key area of interest for me. Likewise, I like seeing the business grow. I like developing new opportunities and seeing how we can do things better.
Mm-hmm.
So there's probably two key things. One is, you know, operational, and one's more about, you know, how the business runs and what we can do and how we can be innovative. So we're always looking to be innovative in what we do and how we deliver our services to clients.
It's great that you basically have both your interests in the one job, the investigations and growing business.
Yeah, definitely.
How do you think the industry is changing, if it's changing at all?
Well, I'm seeing a very small period of time and only being back, or only being in the private investigations industry for just over 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I've certainly seen policing change in the way that it's run. It's certainly changed from the old days in the late 80s and 90s to how things are going. And I think it sort of has a similar flow in private investigations, in that there is a conservative approach by clients into how they instigate an investigation and how investigators run their investigation. There is a reluctance somewhat to do surveillance,
mm-hmm.
due to the risk potentially involved and reputational impact that can have upon a business. So I'm seeing changes in the surveillance area. I think that there is a reluctance to initiate surveillance by clients, and even in investigation at times, you know, they are reluctant to. And I've had a situation recently where, even though a client has believed or has knowledge that an offence has been committed, there's a lack of willingness to actually engage investigators to pursue it, or police,
mm-hmm.
For fear of the impact that could have on the business, outside of what damage is done in terms of asset loss, mm-hmm. theft.
Mm, that's interesting.
Oh, yeah, there's a very conservative approach by clients. You know, once you engage investigators, there's always a potential that you know, it's going to come to a head internally, and then once it gets out internally, it then has the potential to leak externally and into media, especially with big companies, into mm-hmm. media, and then reputations are at stake,
yep.
management and so on. So I'm seeing a real hesitation by clients in their willingness to go ahead and do things. Once they do, they're usually pretty good, but there is impact. And we've had one client recently, which is the overflow after an investigation came to a head has been quite significant in terms of their bottom line, their contract. that they had,
mm-hmm.
and the difficulty in winning back other contracts without being too specific. You know, it's been, yep. There was a lot of impact other than what the actual crime was for them.
Wow, okay. Yeah. Gosh, I never thought about that. That's very interesting. With that, are background checks on the rise? That seems to be a thing that's...
Yeah, definitely. Background investigations is a very substantial part of our business and an area that's grown over the last few years. There's certainly more people ringing me who have been investigators in the past or currently qualified investigators wanting to assist us or work in that space. It's an interesting, a very interesting area, and it's one I think that's probably also quite challenging. Obviously, we're limited in terms of what information we can obtain by open source data and
mm-hmm.
database subscriptions and so on. But I think coupling the coupling those open source areas that we pursue with surveillance and other means of investigation, coupling them all together is quite an interesting space that I think will grow. If we see surveillance drop, I think that's that area, and I'll call it background investigations, but we'll call them initial investigations too.
Mm-hmm.
I think that space is going to grow and develop, and expertise in that area can be very different from one company to another.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, we're constantly learning and trying to refine and improve our that space. I think it's certainly an area of growth in the industry.
Okay, great. So just before we wrap up, would you be able to give your three kind of top tips to investigators coming into the industry and even for investigators out there currently working?
Top tips for somebody getting into the industry is be prepared to start at the bottom and work your way up. Be prepared that you may need to spend quite a bit of time once you've been trained and educated and got your qualifications on learning. You've got to find a company that's willing to take you on and teach you and while you learn, and perhaps do some of it at no charge or very little payment, because obviously there's a budget that's got to be considered for everything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting a lot of people coming in wanting to do it, and it's, I've got to say, it takes years and years of training to become really good at it and think laterally. So, you know, if we're looking for somebody, you know, there's the natural tendency to get online and potentially, we all know the key areas to look at,
mm-hmm.
but to think that you're limited at that. But it's about qualification of the information and looking broadly. So I think there may be some people coming into this year that have got quite diverse skill sets in the areas they've worked, and I think they're at certainly a head start from others that have, you know, not necessarily spent much time in the corporate world. I suppose a tip is to just be really open-minded and willing to learn and spend time in training, being trained, and, you know, learning the trade with others. I think that's a key thing. I think surveillance is still going to be there. So, you know, having experience in all surveillance, background investigations, statement taking, interview processes, you know, all these things are key areas you need to develop skills in, and somehow have to get the experience as well as the qualification. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, being given the opportunity in a good firm to learn is, I think, a really important factor.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you, Darshan, so much for your time today and for the interview. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Casey.
There's so many more questions I could have asked you. We're going to have to do a part two eventually, I think.
Yeah, no problem at all.
Okay, well, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Casey.
Why did you break off the encounter with my pet python?
I discovered he had a crush on
him. Missed Mr. Bond.
Did I?
As you said,
shocking. Positively shocking.